Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is Justin Nimmergood filling in, or I should say holding it down for Bruce and I today in his absence. He is off conquering and helping the world in many other ways today, like we so often do. That's part of the partnership, divide and conquer and ham and egg it when you need to. But like I said, we're excited to be here with you today. We've got an exciting show, a great guest on. But before we get into that, would like to just share a bit about what we've had some great guests on lately, just to kick off 2020. And 2020, I'm told, or at least I've been doing some research, some self-research, is all about the year of clarity and vision. And so I thought no better way to kind of kick off some thoughts. I'll leave you with a couple thoughts for today before we introduce our guest around clarity and vision. It's a good time of year to jump in and to do, vision board activities. Actually, I like to do my vision board activities toward the end of the year before.
It is. It's a wonderful time. Off.
Oh, there he is. Cameron, how are you?
Man.
Made it.
I did. I did make it. So didn't think I would. Boy, speaking of vision board, man. Yes, I've been on my 2020 is... websites, Google site maps, new protected servers.
Yeah. Why don't you tell everyone a little bit of what you've been dealing with, just in light of all that, because I think you're talking a bunch of jargon to a lot of people out there. But it's really important, actually.
Yeah, it was.
If you own your own business.
Yeah, it was so important. I actually did a Instagram Live and posted on both sites. Yeah, so basically what happened is, from time to time, I check my websites to make sure they're running. So I'm thinking, no problem. But a few days ago, I go to Google to see if some of my stuff, how it's doing on Google. And lo and behold, I noticed the phone had been a little bit quieter. Lo and behold, my stuff is in Japanese. Everything. Not the site, but everything on Google. The thing had been hacked. So my developer... And this is a guy, I love this guy and I love him like a brother. Right. And, he had servers through DigitalOcean, et cetera, et cetera. We've always been able to recover pretty quickly with word fences and plugins and other stuff. But man, this virus ate his servers alive. And so, man, myself and several other coach in psychotherapy and other businesses were everybody's back online today and we're getting things cleaned up, but just being down and out for those 3 days is going to be an SEO problem. And I'm going to have to get Google to recrawl the site and hopefully restore me back to my position that I once had, letting them know that, hey, if you let Google know that your site was hacked, they'll give you, they'll put you up on the priority list of recrawling it, but holy cow, that's just a bad feeling. And then also, I had relinquished a lot of my control to some other third parties. You know what I mean? I probably shouldn't have done that because I was really dependent on their availability.
Yeah, third party, this and that.
Yeah. And, and this one dude was my tech support because it was kind of sort of his servers that were through DigitalOcean or whatever. It's just really strange. So, and it's just, all I can say is once your business gets to a certain point, and you're able to invest and secured and, you know, secured servers and all this, then do it. Because if you don't, you won't do it. Back in the day, I had a HostGator site, and I was on HostGator, the baby plan. Problem is, there's a lot of child pornographers on my fucking server, and that server got blacklisted by the FBI. And then my shit got blacklisted by the FBI, and I was working for the FBI. So that's why you just can't get any bullshit plan with a bunch of spammers and pornographers on your servers. So anyway, so learn.
Downtime is just that downtime. I mean, I thought that was a good story. I was actually going to share it anyway before we got things started with our guest today, because I think it's a good learning lesson for any entrepreneur, any business owner, especially small business owners. You know, I would imagine, you know, if you're an enterprise, you have huge teams that are proactively remediating against hackers and fishers and Trojan horses and all the different kinds of malware and security threats that are out there. Now, if you're a small business, you know, like you, myself, and our, you know, our guest that's on here today, this is stuff that you're probably dealing with yourself. You're handling yourself. You're maybe even setting it up yourself. So to have downtime, it's not only the financial aspect of it, because I know back in the day they would say, hey, you know, every minute or every hour that you're down is like $1,000, right? Especially if you're an e-commerce site. Well, I don't know that it equates necessarily in that, but it equates in downtime from a time perspective. And every time, you know, every hour of investment that I'm dealing with this bullshit is an hour more that I could be coaching people.
Right. And every day that Google sees you as broken, or your shit's not indexing right, or it's indexing to another server, or the server's compromised, you just get thrown down lower and lower into the pit of hell of SEO, you know? And so, right. You know what I mean? So it's, thank God I had other touch points like LinkedIn, like Facebook. I have a Facebook community with 700 families now. You know, it generated, you know, it kind of stepped up and was able to do a couple things. You know, it's not that I'm shaking a cup or anything, but holy cow, man, it was quite a noticeable drop in new income or new revenue opportunity engagements last week. So we're back online. We're going to be up and running here better than ever. I hired a full-time, awesome. I hired a person, and that's going to be their job, is to run my IT and all that. So, yes.
So perhaps your clarity and vision, you know, for 2020 is outsourcing tech and not trying to cut any corners with tech, I would imagine.
And I'll do a shout out to Liquid Web. Shout out to Liquid Web. Justin, I looked at your guy too. It was really good. Liquid Web was 4 sites for $690 prepaid, and the level of service they provide is unbelievable. So, I mean, you're getting some pretty hardcore stuff for under a grand. I was ready to pay way more. Don't make no mistake about it. I was looking at other WordPress, you know, specific hosting server people, but this one, we'll see how it goes. I'll say that I'm very optimistic. And a couple of close friends of mine that run multiple website and businesses have used them, and they've never gone down and always been there. So anyhow,
that's awesome.
So yeah, there we
that's
go.
Awesome.
Thank you.
So my nugget that I'll leave our listeners with before I introduce our exciting dynamic guest for today is diversification of not only business streams, but of providers. So, you know, I'm reminded of my days at Cisco in tech, and your store, that's why your store is so applicable. You know, there would be redundancy for everything. And you have to think to yourself, if this person leaves me high and dry, especially if you're relying on one person to do something, what happens then? So for me, it's a year of diversification of business streams. or further diversifying, I should say. And it's a year of diversifying vendors and providers, because as you obviously expand business, you know, streams, you know, having further diversification or redundancy is important for that. So that's kind of been my aha moment as I'm planning out and building out my 2020 plans, you know, and just some things that I've learned, especially in the last couple of months here, you know, that rounded out 2019. Well, folks, we're excited because I'm personally excited to introduce our guest for today. She's dynamic. She's personable. Jill Fox is the owner of Fox Social Media. She's an experienced social media consultant for small businesses in a multitude of industries. Jill helps clients grow their businesses, increase their sales, and build relationships with their existing and new customers. She has set up, run, and managed the social media operations for clients in the fields of medicine, law, education, commercial real estate, sports, nonprofit, fitness, fashion, TV and film, production, talent management, online, retail, magazine, solar, as well as bloggers and high-profile individuals. Having the knowledge and expertise to correctly navigate social media in regulated industries, Jill is a trusted resource for clients in those fields. Another of Jill's passions is teaching, and she has been fortunate enough to be invited to guest lecture at a prominent local university and speak to businesses on topics of social media. She is the host of the Small Business Social Show on YouTube and the Small Business Social Podcast, which is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify, which I actually had the privilege and pleasure of being on a couple weeks ago, and quite proud of that. She's a great podcast host as well, which is why I thought it'd be kind of fun to have her on our show here today. Being an entrepreneur herself, Jill created the video channel, the podcast, and the blog as outlets to share expertise with entrepreneurs and small business owners in order to help simplify the process of creating, marketing, and growing their own businesses. Jill Fox, without further ado, let's welcome you to the show. Welcome, Jill.
Thank you so much for having me today. I'm really excited to be here, and it's an honor to be invited on your show.
Absolutely, Jill. No, we're happy to have you on. And actually, I think that the timing of everything's quite poignant. If you think about, you know, even what we just talked about this morning, but certainly as people are planning out their 2020s, I would imagine that social media and what you do at Fox Social Media is quite important to that. But before we get into that, you know, I shared a bit about you, your kind of bio, but in your own words, you know, who is Jill Fox? Maybe if you could just share a little bit more about yourself to the listeners.
Sure. Well, and thank you. That was a super nice introduction. And I think you shared most of my professional information. But on a personal note, I'm a transplanted East Coaster living in Orange County, California for about 20 years now. I am actually a mom, a grandma, and a rescue dog mom. And I'm a huge Anaheim Ducks fan. So those are my few side points there. But yeah, I'm one of those kind of people who think they're everybody's mom. Basically, if you're under 30, I'm one of those people that think, you know, oh, hey, I want to help that person. I can give them advice or help them get ahead or help them with something going on in their life. So I love what I do. And I've kind of branched out with my podcast and my YouTube show in order to be a resource for people that can't pay a full-time social media manager. You know, those people that have amazing business and life experience, but did not grow up with the internet and don't know how to market. And that's kind of the niche I created those shows to fall into.
Excellent. And I'd imagine, you know, and you hit the nail on the head. So would that mean that your average or your ideal target market would be, are you looking at mostly older generation folks because of that dynamic? Or, you know, who would you say, because you obviously serve a lot of different industries, could you characterize your ideal target client that you're working with on a typical basis?
Well, with Fox Social Media, my ideal client is a small business owner. It's a personal brand. It's a medical practice or a law practice. It's somebody that is going to be too small to have an in-house person and too small to hire a gigantic agency that does everything under the sun, including, you know, your website and traditional media and all of that. So this person is someone who usually just wants me to do it all. Essentially, almost all my clients have me do everything for them, from setting up their site to creating their content to posting to responding to their messages to running all of their ads. And I can do other things as well. You know, obviously, having the podcast and YouTube show has given me a lot of experience in the audio and the video marketing as well. So yeah, my ideal client is any small business owner that is in that, basically that size and needs my assistance.
Great, great. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what helped you, or what was the aha moment that led you to this business, or to these businesses, I should say?
Okay, don't laugh, but I've got a business degree, so I've always been interested in the business aspect. And while I was raising my kids, I did a ton of volunteer work and was always the person who was running whatever the volunteer situation was, whether it was managing hockey teams or running the spirit wear at school or, whatever the situation was. And the reason I learned social media was to follow my oldest child on social media. That's the whole sole reason I said, I've got to learn this stuff. And that was, oh my gosh, you know, what, 12, I don't even know how many years ago, started on MySpace. And then I found that Facebook was a really great place to connect with friends from the East Coast, now that I live out in California. So when Facebook became, a place for businesses, it was a perfect niche for me already having business experience. And I basically went and learned everything I could possibly learn, which I still do to this day, because it, you know, you go to sleep at night and you wake up the next morning and see what changed while you were sleeping. It's an ever evolving industry. The other interesting fact is that when we lived in Pennsylvania, before we lived here in California, and that was in the late 90s before social media. So back there, I created a business where I created full color newsletters for clients. I even wrote the content, laid them out, did some of the graphics, the simple ones, and had them produced, and they sent them out to their clients. So I like to say that I did social media before the term even existed.
Yes. It's sort of a pioneer in the industry, if you will. And I'd imagine if someone, and great story, by the way, about out of necessity for your kids, right? That, you know, needed to learn this because my kids knew about it. Has that become I won't call it an income stream, but a center of influence is connecting with the other moms, or possibly even, you know, dads out there that say, hey, you know, I need someone to kind of teach me in the ropes of this so that, you know, I know what's going on too. Because you mentioned teaching, I'm just curious if that's something that you keen in on.
Well, as far as the Fox Social, I kind of have two businesses essentially. One is Fox Social Media, where I'm operating the social media initiatives. I've taught social media managers as well. When I've had a company come to me and say, this person does a good job, but we want to make sure they understand the full scale of what to post, what not to post, and why, what the protocol is, just all of that kind of filling in the gaps. I've also taught classes. Let me rephrase this. I'm not a professor. I was invited to guest lecture at Chapman, at Whittier, for some business groups. So that's the Fox social media side. On the what I call the small business social, because that's the name of my show and podcast side, that is more, you know, that may be the entrepreneur that can't afford to pay anybody. This is putting out information that's basic in hopes that they'll learn it. And I have a free Facebook group that's more geared to that older generation. However, anybody's welcome. You know, so there's a lot of younger people who never took to social media and now need to learn it as well. But, you know, for that Facebook group, that's a resource for those people. And yes, I do have people in there who said to me, can I join even if I don't have a business? I just need to learn how to use this. And the answer is absolutely. I don't really care what someone's doing with it. I just want to provide that resource so that people that are in, you know, that over maybe 40, 45, 50 age group, they've got a heck of a lot to share. And I can't stand to see them being held back because they don't understand today's marketing. And I think the key is to simplify, simplify, simplify.
I can agree with you more. What is it, the KISS method? Keep it simple. Stupid. But really, that is the key. You know, you look at all the great companies of today and really the past, you know, 100, 200, you know, plus years. You know, Apple certainly comes top of mind for me. I know there are several others out there, but they really have prided themselves on keeping things as simple as possible because we live in such a fast-paced, complicated, you know, world these days that cutting through the bullshit is actually kind of important. And especially when you're talking about product or service awareness, keeping that facet simple too is paramount. So kudos to you. You know, that's definitely a good backbone to build a business on.
Well, thank you. I think also that if you make it too complicated, I know if you make something take something really technical, like, I don't know, how to put together a piece of furniture. Heck, if it's got more than three or four screws, I'm out. I give it to my husband. Here, you do it. You know, I know how I am with things that I don't know and understand. And that's, you know, cooking is one. Building furniture maybe is a good example of the other. So people are just going to tune right out and go, I can't do this. But if you break it down really simply and say, okay, just use a couple sites, just post a couple times a week. Just here's a list of what type of things you can share. And then they start to get into it and gain confidence with it and sort of get an overview of how it's going to work for them. I've also got a super simple plan that I share with people. It's not my plan. It's one I learned from someone else. But, you know, it's something where you can make a very simple video on your phone that talks a little bit about either your company or it answers a question that a lot of your ideal clients might have. And you put that maybe 2-minute video up on Facebook and you put $1 a day behind it and you boost it as a post. So you turn it into an ad by clicking a button, essentially. So we start really, really simple. And there you're talking about, you know, let's say you did this every day of the year. Once a week, you did a new little video and boosted it and turned the other one off when you boost the new one. You're talking about $350-some marketing budget for the whole year or ads budget for the whole year. And that's peanuts. And it can really start to help you. Imagine if you're doing this, you're going to get at least a few clients. And it, for most of the clients that I do social media for, I pay for myself maybe 10 times over by properly doing their advertising and giving them that the right persona, sharing their actual persona and doing a good job for them in handling their online presence.
Well, let's talk about that a little further because I think and those that listen to like Gary Vee or some of these other great sort of influencer leaders out in the marketplace, personal development, you know, gurus out in the marketplace, they're fully behind it. In fact, they would say that if you were to dump, you know, any type of budget in advertising or marketing today, that you should put it in social and boosting or ad sets or whatnot. So what is, you know, maybe you can talk a little bit about what are the components of ads that you look at and how you approach it and really how you really are able to dissect and help brands, help small businesses for that matter, you know, reach new levels through some of those ads.
Well, I think the first thing is if you're only going to focus in one place, do Facebook. The reason is the majority of adults, and it grows every year, are on Facebook. The other reasons are that Facebook has incredible targeting and it can be dirt cheap, as we just talked about with the $1 a day ad. So what I will tell people is I think the main thing to keep in mind is don't try and sell. Don't go out there and try and sell. There are too many ads. There are too many commercials. There's too many poorly done sites, and people are going to tune you right out. So what you're going to do when you're first getting started is you're going to share and you're going to help and you're going to answer questions. Now, obviously, you're helping your target market and you're answering questions for your target market. So you're attracting those people that are your ideal clients. That's the purpose. In addition to helping them, you're also attracting them. It's really important to be yourself, be authentic, be real. Don't be perfect. People don't like perfect. It doesn't seem real or authentic. So what people want to see is, if you're a small business owner, they want to see you. Why did you start this business? Why do you care about it? Why do you care about your clients? And most people, even if they're not good at being on camera, can tell this story of their business and can share their passion. And if you can get a little clip of that on a video and share that, it really shows through and it really resonates with people. So, and with anything, you'll hear people say, oh, I tried Facebook ads, they didn't work. Well, there are a lot of components. And first, you've got to go back to, like you guys were talking about, your website. And is your website good? Do people go to it and know it's for them? You know, does your target market look at this and go, this is where I belong? This is the place for me. Is it easy to navigate? Does it answer questions? Does it create a professional image? Does it direct people where to go? And then you've got to look at your ad content and the wording in it. Then you've also got to look at your targeting. With Facebook, you can target, you can choose an area.
So what areas do you typically recommend that they choose when you're going through this maybe for the first time with them as an exercise?
Well, if you are, let's say, a local business, it's different for a local business than it is for an internet business. But let's say you're Jill's Flower Shop in Irvine, California. And I am going to target, first of all, maybe 5-mile radius around my store. Then I'm going to target people who live in that area and watch, and I'm going to make this up, obviously, the Flower Channel on TV. I'm also going to target people that follow this Pinterest board or this site called Flower Arranging. I'm also going to target all the people who follow Mary's Flowers because she's like a 1/2 mile down the street from me. So I'm going to choose those people. So you're going to base it by area. You're going to base it by interest. You're going to base it. You can base it by job. There's a whole lot of categories that you can choose within there. And you want to advertise. You want to be specific. People are afraid of being specific, but you want to be specific. You want your dollars to go to your ideal client.
Yeah, I've played around with it for years. I'm not certainly an expert on it in regard. But
and Justin, you know, Justin, even. I have a
go
Facebook. I'm doing just what she said. I have a Facebook group called Federal Prison Reform First Step Act, right? And the title is very clear because it says Federal Prison Reform and First Step Act. And I have about 700 families on that site. And right now I've been answering questions about the federal law and federal prison system. So kind of building this tribe and building up myself as a content area expert. And it has produced some paid clients off to the side. So, it's Facebook, like you said, it's a great tool. People use Facebook now like they do Google and search for stuff on Facebook. So it's amazing.
That's so true. You're doing it exactly right. And when you're creating that persona, and it's real. I mean, you're getting out there and showing that you're an authority in your space, then people trust you and can come to you with your questions. And when you build that trust even more, they want to work with you. So that's the perfect way to go about it. I think you're doing it all right.
Yeah, it seems to be going well, and I'm able to convert some of the folks into paid engagement. So yeah, and if I could do it on something like that, this isn't flowers. This is people in federal prison. certainly a more cheery topic. The service line could do well as well. But I think the title of the group, I think one of the things is the group. I think the title of the group needs to be specific to what the person's doing. And then Facebook looks to see if there's a community that if multiple people from all over the United States are posting on that, Facebook rewards that. And I've noticed it climb in the SEO standings. So not only just having the Facebook, but having a viable group where people are communicating and chatting and will help drive SEO incredibly. So
absolutely. Yeah. You're so right. And, you know, SEO now is not just, you know, it used to be cramming keywords in the back end of a website. And now you're essentially penalized for that, thank God. So now SEO is reality. Share the reality of what you do in as many places as you can. And that's more what SEO is now. It's about creating content about what you do. And so it's changed quite a bit.
Absolutely. So even Justin told me about building a tribe. And so I listened to his venerable advice on our Instagram. So built a tribe, folks.
Yeah, Justin has some great advice.
Well, talk to, if you could, you know, on the common, can you talk a little bit more just about how you help clients, you know, build a tribe through social media? I mean, we've talked about a little bit of it through titles, group, you know, the group name or the Facebook page name that you do. That's certainly, I mean, that's kind of foundational, but what are some other tactics that, you know, you might be employing to help them build a tribe through social media and through your services?
Yeah. So I'll give you a few different examples. One of the examples is I have a client who runs an age management medicine group. And so they provide conferences and training like the CME, that the continuing credits for doctors, nurse practitioners, chiropractors, you know, that in the health industry. So that's obviously a B2B, a business to business service. So with him, what we started to do, and we did this very grassroots, we started doing I would follow or connect him with 50 people on LinkedIn a day. Those were his ideal clients, not 50 of anyone, as they were his ideal clients. So they were doctors, they were nurse practitioners, they were PAs, they were chiropractors. And he now has over 23,000 connections that he can communicate with. The other thing that I've done is through ads. Ads is another good way. So I have a client that's an attorney. So that's a B2C, you know, a business to consumer service. So one of the things that we found worked really well was the ads. We have some ads. We have an ad that's been running for a year and has upped his he does six areas. He has six practice areas. One of them is immigration. And this particular ad has increased his business by 33%. And he also does family law. And we have another ad. We have a couple ads for family law. But those particular ads have increased the business about 20%. So he's seen a big jump from the ads. But the other thing that's really cool, there's a really cool idea that another way to build a tribe, so to speak, is if you go on Facebook and you post a review, you just share a review. Well, I started putting $1 a day behind his reviews, expecting people to see them and maybe gain confidence in him. But what happened was there was this really awesome side effect that I never even expected. And that is his current clients would see these reviews and they would just start commenting, oh, he's the best. He helped me with this. I recommend him to everyone. So essentially, we were taking $1 a day, putting it behind this review and getting all kinds of testimonials on it. And I honestly didn't expect that, didn't think about that. So that's another great way. When you put an ad out there and people like it or hit any of the emojis, essentially, like or, you know, love or smile or whatever they hit, the emojis, you then have the ability to invite them to like your business page. So that's a really cool way to grow slowly that community as well.
Fascinating. So money behind not only the boosting and posts, but the testimonials. You know, I've heard of that in some iteration of that, but that's basically creating the comments on comments, you know, the engagement, right? It's just accelerating the engagement through the social platform that
exactly.
you're using.
Exactly. And the other thing you can do is sharing videos, like we talked about, is just you're really helping people get to know, like, and trust you. So if you can share these short videos and get them out there, and even the dollar a day behind those as well, then you're getting more people to follow you. You know, it takes what I've heard, this number is different no matter who you ask, but anywhere between 7 to 9 touch points before someone's willing to buy from you. So they need to hear from you, see you, learn about you, something, they need to be touched or affected by something to do with you a lot of times before they buy from you. So if you can have, you know, that video out there or just keep putting those out and sharing and letting people get to know you, you really cut down on the time frame it takes to go through that sales funnel, essentially, to go from, you know, being totally unknown to that person now being your client.
Well, sometimes, by the way, I've heard numbers as high as like 21, by the way, you know, if you talk about traditional advertising, you know, and that's probably more like print or digital print, you know, old school legacy, you know, high fashion or something to that regard. But I almost feel like maybe I'm wrong in this assumption, but a lot of social media is almost becoming kind of, you know, digital printish in the sense that that is how we consume things. That is how we think about advertising. I don't know anyone. I certainly don't get any magazine publications, you know, regularly delivered to my door. If I want to consume information, like you talked about earlier, I'm doing it through Google with, you know, real intention behind trying to figure out this or that. Or oftentimes through Facebook. And honestly, oftentimes Facebook is an even better medium for that, depending on what it is. So, you know, I guess just all that is kind of a long-winded way of saying the touch points are serious. And you have to be in front of people constantly, or else you lose the right to reach out to them. You lose the trust, right? Or you never gain it in the first place. So I feel like maybe you can talk about how companies, you know, that you work with, I mean, just even doing something alone, just doing anything is almost, I mean, I see it almost as the standard now, because if you're not doing something, you're that much further behind your competition.
It's so true. You're exactly right. And one of the things I'll have people say to me is, well, now with the algorithm on Facebook, people only see 1 to 2% of what you post. And the other social media sites aren't that far behind. And that's the people that follow you. But I, you know, here's a story. I have a client that came to me. It's a commercial real estate firm, and they were just starting up. And they lost one of the most, it's a great firm too. I mean, it's really well-backed, well-set-up, just everything's good. However, they hadn't set up any social media. So when this individual who was interested in joining them went online to check them out, they didn't have a presence. And that can really hurt you. So you have to have that online presence. You don't have to post all the time, but you definitely have to have that presence. And the other place that I love, if you're going to do videos, make a YouTube channel. It's just as easy to throw them up on there and share them, you know, on the other sites authentically as well. Because YouTube is owned by Google. YouTube is the second largest search engine in the world, and people will go there just like what you were talking about, Justin. Oh, gosh, I need to know how to make this recipe, or how do I, you know, this is how do I clean my blinds, or, you know, whatever it is. How do I help my child with homework? You're going to go to YouTube. Because you want the step-by-step, you want to see it, and the search engine on YouTube is really, really good. So that's where people go to get their questions answered. So another really good place. And you're not creating any more content. You're just sharing it in one additional spot, and it's well worth the time.
You know, along those lines of video art, you know, are you doing anything? I know I've been hearing a lot around TikTok for a couple months now. Are you doing a lot with TikTok with your clients?
I'm doing zero with TikTok. It is not my clients' customers are not on TikTok. My clients' customers aren't on Snapchat. So
they will be.
So right now we are not. We are not doing anything with that at this point.
I put federal prison authority on there. There's trending things in
Did
prison.
You?
It's interesting. It's like Pinterest. I'm telling you, it's as if Pinterest and Spotify and Vine had a baby. It's because what they do is it's exactly that. And so, you know, they want you to do something with music and dance around, but I don't, but I know. So anyway, I'm learning some things on the hashtags and, so you may want to look at it. There's a lot of influences out there. And, you know, of course, I'm the first federal prison consultant on there, but there's a lot of prison people members and family members. So, yeah, you might want to take a look at that on different niches. Go through the trending hashtags. See which ones meet the people that you work with. Have them do a 15-second video. They reward people who shoot the 15-second video from their phone organically. So it sees that and kind of plans something out for 15 seconds and put content on there. And then what it is about TikTok, it's TikTok is like a raffle. Okay. So it's a variable ratio reinforcement schedule. So every, you know, they might reward this person who did nothing and he'll get like 15 million views. So what you're doing is you're putting content throughout the day. Hopefully you're winning the raffle or the sub raffle. And that's how they get people hooked. Cause even a loser can have 15 million, you know, because they'll just send it across the world. You know what I mean? It's amazing. So anyway, something to think about.
They're trying to test. Trying to test to see what type of content works. And then they'll create an algorithm like the others. Yeah.
Right.
And it's hard because there are so many social media sites and people have, limited time and resources. So just like you said, that's starting to work well for you. So it was smart you picked it. So I just have to pick the ones that are going to be the best for my clients because they can't be everywhere. Well, we can't be everywhere. So yeah, that's, the one I'm really starting to not like is Twitter. I think Twitter's amazing if you're an athlete, you're a celebrity, you're the local fire department, something like that, your radio station. But Twitter is not taking control of the fake news that's running rampant throughout their community with their hashtags. And it's kind of becoming a toxic environment. So I've built up Twitter accounts for so many of my old clients, but going forward, I'm not inclined to put new clients on there. I also see the least value as far as ROI with Twitter. So anyway, that's my little Twitter rant. I think it can be good again, but they need to take control of it and not let it be a cesspool of negativity.
You know, Jill, you bring up, speaking on negativity, not that we want to harp on it, but kind of along these lines, we've talked about a couple of examples of challenges that your clients are currently facing or commonly currently facing. Could you maybe just distill it down to your top two or three that you see most frequently and how you kind of address those items, you know, with either Fox Social or your other business line?
Well, I would say through Fox Social Media, my clients come to me because they need somebody to explain in layman's terms what they need, just as much as they need to know, tell them what platforms to be on, and someone to kind of run the whole show for them that they can trust and direct them in the right direction. It's overwhelming and they don't know the process. And as I tell everyone, it's a full-time job and I have to keep learning all the time. So don't feel bad. I can't do what my clients do. I'm not a doctor. I'm not an attorney. I can't run a gym. I mean, all of those things I can't do. So, and I don't try those. I leave them to the experts. So this is first getting over the feeling like you should be doing it all yourself. That's not the case. As far as the small business social part of the business, I think that it's kind of the same thing, honestly. People are so overwhelmed, they don't know where to start, and so they just don't start. And what they need is just a little tiny roadmap of, okay, most of them know they need to be on Facebook, but they don't even know like there's a business page out there or how to optimize it. And it's super simple. And if they see you walk through it, then they go, okay, I can do that. What's next? So as far as that's the initial problem that they face, obviously the biggest challenge is getting your content in front of your ideal clients and customers. And you have to be creative, and you have to be in a few of the different places, like Justin was saying before, in order to do that. So I'd say those are the two top: not knowing what to do, and then, you know, beyond that, getting in front of their ideal clients and customers.
Isn't that the truth, right? When you get in front of the ideal clients and customers, everything seems to just flow a little bit better. Everything just works so much better. Let's pivot for a second on the other side of the coin. Perhaps give us your favorite, client success story. I know you shared a couple intermittent, throughout the discussion, but which one stands out to you?
I would say probably my favorite is this past year, after working for a few years with the medicine, the company that does the physician training and all, and we've had great, we've had the 6% and 7% growth in their conferences. They have two conferences a year, and they're very different locations. So you have to look at year over year with the conference. You can't compare them each. But the smaller one, the one that's been, people aren't loving the location and they're kind of locked in there for 3 years. That one grew. They got 30%. I mean, I'm rounding this, but right around the 30% mark increase in conference sign up this year. And it's almost like everything we're doing is just really taking hold. And I was on them for years to change their website. Their website wasn't good, and now it's beautiful. And the woman who did it did an amazing job. And I think that made a difference, because that just right there, you kind of have more trust and all. But creating that very strong and professional and trustworthy online presence by doing all these different things has made a big difference. And obviously, having 23,000 plus LinkedIn connections that you can communicate with isn't too bad either. So I would say that's one of my favorites. I was hired by a project management company, and they said, we've only got 2 weeks and we don't have enough signups. So we threw together this plan, and we only had 2 weeks to get them signups for local people. They didn't have to travel, a conference, and we got them over the hump. We got them past the number they needed. They were freaking out. They had 2 weeks. There's just been a lot of really cool things, just turning somebody's presence around or creating it from scratch online and making it super professional so that they can start to brand themselves and show the expert they are to others. Being able to do that is one of the most fun things. And then, like we talked about with the attorney, I've just increased his business. A whole bunch of things like that. I've been able to get people invited on shows and podcasts without going out there and saying, hey, will you put my client on your show? It's them reaching out to us because of their strong online presence. So that's another big win. It comes in a lot of different ways. Obviously, the bottom line is money and increasing business, but all of these things do that.
That's great. Yeah, and it's always the golden goose, as I say, when it's a self-guided buyer's journey and they're finding you. You're not having to sell them. That's really as good as it gets. So I know we're running up on time here, Jill, and I want to make sure our listeners I'm sure they've gotten a lot of value out of today's show with you. Make sure they have an opportunity to find you. So can you please tell our listeners out there, how and where they can find you?
Sure. Probably the best place is JillWFox.com. And that's my personal brand website, and it links to Fox Social Media as well. And then I'm just Jill W. Fox all over social media. It's at Jill W. Fox, so it's pretty easy to find. And the podcast is called the Small Business Social Podcast with the word "the" in there. So that's probably it. I would say, yeah, just JillWFox.com and everything is linked there.
Wonderful. Jill, thank you so much for coming on our show today. We really appreciate it. It was fun and learned quite a bit. So always love having dynamic guests like yourself on our show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's actually a huge honor for me to be on your show, and I really appreciate you putting the trust in me to speak with and share information to educate your followers and your audience.
Our pleasure. Our pleasure. Bruce, why don't you take us home?
All right, we'll take us home. Thanks for coming on the show, Jill. Yeah, thinking about TikTok, if there's an app that has 50 million people in it, somebody's going to prison and somebody needs a coach. So I'm going to go for the numbers, man. That's what it's about on this side for sure. It's about a numbers game. Anyway, thanks for coming on the show, folks. It was a great show we had today on the Concierge Coaches Show. Covered a lot of ground, covered a lot of topics. And next week, we have an exciting guest for you as well. This one out of Texas, and it'll be a lot of fun and a lot of great information as well. Come by our social media touch points, LinkedIn, the Concierge Coaches Show on Instagram. We have a page on Facebook, and I'm at Concierge. I am now back again at ConciergeCoach.net. And Justin, how can folks reach you?
Yeah, just my last name, so nimmergood.com, you know, and Nimmergood. I am also like Jill and Bruce backlink to everything else in my ecosystem. So thank you, folks.
Yeah, sir. Thank you very much. And we'll see you next week here on the Concierge Coaches Show, LA Talk Radio. Have a blessed week, everybody.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.